Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastama Vedvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 19, Devotional Service and Pure Love of God, page 36. When Krishna enters his Pauganda body, the Balya body disappears, and then appears in the universe in which his Balya pastimes are about to begin. The Balya body appears wherever the Balya pastimes begin, in the Vrindavan within a particular universe. The Balya body of Krishna will also appear in a future Kalpa of Brahma during the Vaivasvata Manvantara, when Vrindavan appears on earth again. Similar to this, the sun disappears from this continent in the evening and appears in another continent, but after 12 hours it again appears in this continent. The eternal nature of the pastimes and ages of Krishna are explained in detail in the commentaries in the Bhagavatam by the devotees. One should consult these works if one has questions. Right? So this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So, means once in a day of Brahma, Krishna comes and performs his pastimes. So that means the next day of Brahma, he'll be back. Right? So that means for every day in the life of Brahma, then Krishna will perform his pastimes. Right? So that's going on, but that's also going on in each universe. So wherever it is that here, when it's there, it'll go transfer to the next universe. At the same time as it will be back. Does that make sense? It'll come back around. Yes?
So previously you explained how it coexists parallel in Golok. And then Boma Lila, that's the explanation for Bhoom Lila.
Yes, because it's just going from here to the next universe to the next, but then that's right, Prabhupada said, a traveling road show. Mm-hmm. You know? So it is going on. But at the same time, as the pastimes that are going on here, it's the same as what's going on in the spiritual world. Just that it doesn't have the aspects. Means, since the two are non-different, then since here the devotee appears, you don't have to do that in Goloka. Mm-hmm. Right, since the gopis are married here, you don't have to have it there. It's the same place. Because if you killed the demons here, you don't have to kill them there. Because it's the same place. It's already happened. So there they'll talk about the pastimes that happened here. You know, when it comes to those three. So
tonight, Krishna is coming in every universe, every day of Brahma.
Yes.
And in every species of life.
That's also there. Yeah. That's also there. Otherwise, where does the origin come from? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like in the Nrsimha Purana, there's like half a page that describes Krishna coming in his mosquito incarnation. Right, you know. So he comes and he sits down on a leaf or something, and that. And then all the demigods take the form of bees and they buzz around Krishna, and then the pastime's over.
Mm. Yeah. And every person with the mosquito body can get news about that mosquito.
Yes, yes. But, means like for us, we may not take much inspiration in that, but someone like Yamaraj, since he, you know, every, you know, In the work of his day, he's having to commit living entities to all the 8,400,000 species. So because Krishna's already taken those forms, then it makes it very easy for him. He can always remember Krishna.
Yes.
Yes.
In the human form of life, this performing of devotional service by the sadhana process is possible. But in other forms, they become more elevated just by being in proximity with the Lord. So Lord taking the forms among them, it will help them, because being in the proximity of the Lord, they get elevated to higher position, or they get the devotional credit.
Yeah. But also it's just, yes, you have that, but you also have is that, that that's how it works. So the mosquito works in that way because that's the form how Krishna took the mosquito. So the mosquito always functioned in that capacity. So it's not arbitrary. You know, so the evolution is not of the species, it's through the species. Like that. So all 8,400,000 are there simultaneously. It's just which jiva is moving through at which point. Is that Getting back to the present case, among those who have bhava, prema, and stai bhavas, when a particular stai bhava appears in a devotee under particular conditions or causes, one should understand that the other bhavas are still present in the devotee, but in unmanifest forms. They are not destroyed. Similarly, among material persons who have anger, lust, and other emotions, when one emotion among them surfaces, the others still exist, but in the form of impressions. Right? So here it says anger, lust, and other emotions. So when he's lusty, you generally say anger, and that's not there, you know, but it's not that it's not there in impressions. Then when anger comes up, lust may go down. So then it's just, so they're always there. So the same way as when the devotee comes to the platform of prema, they come to the, whatever is their situation, then all the other situations, all the other aspects within that, the eight forms of prema exist. It's just which one's prominent at the time. Right? Yeah. 142. In the Pancharatra, it is said, prema is defined by Bhishma, Prahlad, Uddhava, and Narada as that bhava which has possessiveness related to Vishnu or any other form of the Lord, and no one else. Right? So this is where you'll see is when they're talking about the Shanta Ras, then many times it's not also considered a rasa, because it lacks possessiveness. So it doesn't have that same level of prema that the others will. Right? One may be eternally situated there, but it doesn't manifest in quite the same way. So it means that it's a rasa, that's why it's counted in the five. But because it lacks possessiveness, that's why you'll see sometimes they discuss four. Like it mentioned, Lord Chaitanya came to explain the four rasas. That means the four that have possessiveness. And then when you talk about Braj, then you talk about the three. Because servitorship then is specifically inclined towards majesty. Right? So it's not something special in Goloka. The uniqueness there means in Braj will be the friendship, parental and conjugal. Right? Because the others you see are found in Vaikuntha. Though the level, of course, is going to take on the flavors of these higher. But the point is when you're discussing Braja Bhakti, you only really need to express these three. You know, something will be mentioned, as you see as we go through. They'll mention something about the others. But the details are given in the three. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay.
No?
Sometimes it's confusing because it says that he came to give that Unatajvala Rasa, which was never given before, which in the translation it says conjugal specifically.
Yes.
Because that was his own experience.
Yes, yes.
So,
but it doesn't mean that the other four are not related to it.
Mm.
Because otherwise, what's the point? If it's just Radha and Krishna in a cloud, then what? Right? So now, are you going to have Parakya Rasa if Radha and Krishna can hang out together all the time? Okay. So now, what's your best way of making a restriction on that you can regularly meet, but at the same time, regularly you're not together? Right? Introduce parental rasa. Right? Does that make sense? So that creates environments in which she's at her place, he's at his place, but then they have to endeavor to get together. Because the endeavor and all these things are part of the taste. We're used to, being lazy, you know, due to the mode of ignorance, we want to do the work and then it's done eternally. But for Krishna, it's there's no laziness. So that endeavor is part of the whole process. So every day trying to find a way to get together, then it's just a taste. And so the parental is going to create, you know, a major obstacle to that. Right? Then you're going to have other in the conjugal rasa, and they're not on this level that we're talking about with Radha and Krishna. Like that. So they'll be on the first level of Mahabhava, but not on the second or third. Right? But by them being there, that also creates obstacles. Then you have the cowherd boys, they also create the obstacles. Right? But at the same time, they can be supportive. And so then you get all these different flavors come up. Then you have it. But then you have the environment in which you're in. Since service is a major aspect, it'll also be socially part of the aspect. Because they have servants and all that. Then it's just like the servants could bring lunch to the cowherd boys. Right? And by them bringing lunch, is that going to disturb the mood?
No.
Not really. Right? Because they'll just come in, give, and go. But if the parents show up with lunch, you know, then they're going to stay. They're going to want to this and that, talk to this, and are you guys behaving yourself and all that. And, you know, it's just going to, it's good. So therefore, servants, there they can do all these things. So they can move around, do all the things. So they can support what other rasas are going on. So by saying the one, it doesn't mean that the other is not there. It means he's the four, he's explaining them, but all in the context of the one.
Mm-hmm.
But, and even that, it's in context of Radharani.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All the rasa are supporting the conjugal rasa.
Yes. Yeah.
And everybody can assist in one way.
Yes. Like that. But you see, in Braj, it's more obvious. Then in Dwarka it's there, but it's also kind of not there. And in Vaikuntha it's just, you know, the Lord's there with Lakshmi, and so you're assisting in those things, but it doesn't have that same taste. It's still just dasya. Right? So, yeah. Srila Prabhupada, when one's desire to love Krishna in one's particular relationship becomes intensified, this is known as pure love of Godhead. In the beginning, a devotee is engaged in the regulative principles of devotional service by the order of the spiritual master. Then one thereby becomes completely purified of all material contamination. Oh, when one thereby becomes completely purified of all material contamination, there develops an attachment and taste for devotional service. This taste and attachment gradually intensified, in the course of time becomes love. The word love can be actually applied only in relationship with the personality of Godhead. In the material world, love is not applicable at all. What goes under the name of love in the material world is nothing but lust. There is a gulf of difference between love and lust, like the difference between gold and iron. In the Narada, Pancharatra, it is clearly stated that when lust is completely transferred to the Supreme Godhead and the concept of kinship is completely reposed in Him, such is accepted as pure love of God by great authorities like Bhishma, Prahlad, Uddhava, and Narada. So that attention directed at Krishna, that becomes prema. Right? So you don't have that here. Because there you're dealing with prema, then that's based on the platform of Ananda. Is that positive interaction with Krishna. While here, happiness is based on removal of a pain. Right? So attachment and distress, they go together. They're the companions there. So it's not on the level of prema. Right? But for the devotees, it's workable. It makes things, it functions, so that one can be engaged nicely in the Lord's service. Yeah? Yeah? Srila Jiva Goswami. It should be understood that starting from verse 6, Evam Vrata, the author will give examples to support his own definition. Here he quotes a different definition of prema in order to show its agreement with his definition by consideration of the grammar. Bhaktihi means bhava in this verse. 1.4.3. The analysis of the grammar of the above verses is as follows. Bhava is called prema by Bhishma and others where there is possessiveness, mamata, related to sangata, to Vishnu, and where possessiveness of other things, ananya mamata, is absent. Right? They don't have that sense of possessiveness. Right? So there's friendship between the devotees, but there's not a sense of possessiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The possessiveness is in connection with Krishna.
Yes. Yes.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This verse analyzes the verse from the Pancharatra. Bhakti means bhava. It should be devoid of strong possessiveness of body, house, and other items. That possessiveness, which is related to Vishnu, is called prema by Bhishma and the others. Right, so as the material possessiveness goes down, the possessiveness in connection to Krishna can go up.
Yes.
Right? Because, you know, there's... Does that make sense? Yes.
So, can we say that we can call both possessiveness, Krishna is mine and I'm his? It's
yes.
Both possessiveness from both sides?
Yes, from either side.
Okay.
Like that. However, whatever is the mood and all that.
Mm.
144. This prema for the Lord has two types, that arising from bhava and that arising from mercy. Srila Prabhupada. Great authorities like just like you see my sadhana, bhakti, you can get to bhava. That has two forms. That which comes from bhava, I mean that which comes from vaidhi, and that which comes from rag, or from the Lord's mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Then getting from bhava to prema, it's also by practicing bhava and going through, one can come to that position, but it's also by the Lord's mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Great authorities like Bhishma have explained that love of Godhead means completely giving up all so-called love for any other person. According to Bhishma, love means reposing one's affection completely upon one person, withdrawing all affinities for any other person. This pure love can be transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead under two conditions, out of ecstasy and out of the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Right, so it's, you're transferring it there. That's the whole thing that you're doing, is that this affection is just about one person. That's why you see with all of the living entities, it's friendship. Because that sense of that possessiveness, that sense of affection, that's about Krishna. Right? So, friendship has all the good qualities, but it's all in relationship with Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. 145. Tatra bhavota. Bhava evantar anganam anu sevaya. Arudha parama ukarsham bhava uta pari krithita. Prema arising from bhava is explained. That bhava which reaches the highest excellence by continual service using all essential angas is called prema arising from bhava. So footnote 16. The angas were defined in relation to sadhana bhakti, but the same activities continue in bhava and prema, though they are called anubhavas after sadhana is finished. Right, so there's still part of what, because this anubhavas would be things that you do. Right? Let's say it is there, Mother Jashoda, you know, something reminds her of Krishna and all that, and then she wants to do some service. So then she'll do an activity. Right? So we call them sadhana bhakti. We call it vaidhi bhakti, but for them it's anubhavas. It's just the natural things that the transformation of the mind that engages the body and the senses in the Lord's service. Does that make sense? So that's just the natural state. That's the rag atmika. Right? Rag anuga, we're following the footsteps of that rag. Does that make sense? And so then, if there is a natural spontaneity, then great, by the Lord's grace. But if not, you follow the vaidhi. Because these are the activities that the great devotees do in their ecstatic love for Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's coming from there. So this idea that vaidhi is something else, no, it's not. It's the same thing. The difference between prema, bhava, and sadhana and materialism is the mentality. The mechanics are exactly the same. Does that make sense? That's the... means the quality of the mechanics may be different, but it's the principle is the same. Right? 146. An example of prema arising from Vaidabhava is supplied from the 11th canto. Now you see here is that the Acharya, he's giving the point so that you understand it, then giving the evidence. All we see is Jiva Goswami was giving the evidence and then explaining it. So either way works. It's just which way. You see, sometimes Prabhupada give the shloka, then he'll explain it. Other times he'll explain everything, yes, and even end a purport with a shloka, no translation.
Yes. Yes.
Like that. Or it'll be the shloka with the translation. He'll just end like that. So it's just, you can, however, whatever works. So you can see is all these different styles, are all the different writing styles are all used by the Acharyas.
Basically, you're either using it as a siddhanta or you're using it as a theme to begin with. The
Pratigya.
Yes. Oh, theme, okay. I was thinking team. What team? Cricket team. So it's either the conclusion or the, yes, or the theme, and then the pratigya, and then in between you're discussing and analyzing that. 146. An example of prema arising from Vaidabhava is supplied from the 11th canto. Having performed his vows according to Vaidhi Bhakti, chanting the holy name of his beloved Lord, he develops great attachment. As his heart melts with ecstatic love, he laughs very loudly, cries or shouts. Sometimes he sings and dances like a madman, for he is indifferent to public opinion. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.40. Srila Prabhupada. Ecstasy. Ecstatic love of Godhead can be potentially invoked simply by following the rules and regulations of devotional service as they are prescribed in scriptures, under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. In the 11th canto, 2nd chapter, verse 40 of Srimad Bhagavatam, this ecstatic love, born of the execution of regulated devotional service, is explained. Quote, a devotee, in the course of executing the regulated principles of devotional service, develops his natural Krishna consciousness, and being thus softened at heart, he chants and dances like a madman. While performing chanting of the holy name of the Lord, he sometimes cries, sometimes talks wildly, sometimes sings, and sometimes, without caring for any outsider, dances like a madman. Srila Jiva Goswami. And so the Vaidhi is bringing one to that place. If it's been heard from the bona fide spiritual master, you're finding it. So that chit potency is there. You are wanting that. You move forward in that. Vaidha means produced from Vaidhi. By following the rules of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, Vaidhi Bhava appears. From that Vaidhi Bhava appears the corresponding prema. That is the meaning of Vaidhi Bhavottama. Evam Vrata. Performing vows indicates that the prema arose from Vaidabhava. The word priya, dear, indicates that attainment of bhava. Swa indicates the devotee's possessiveness of the Lord's. Jatanu raga indicates extreme possessiveness. Right? So we also see here subtly, I'm sure it'll come up more, is that he's also pointing out how you can get to the different level positions. Because here you're from Vaidhi, produced from Vaidhi, so Vaidha, you're getting Vaidhi Bhakti, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, you're getting Vaidhi Bhava. Mm-hmm. Right? So someone going to Vaikuntha would want to develop that.
Yes.
Because they want a prema that's in line with the rules, because that's how you express the opulence.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? So we see, as already explained before, it's by the Lord's grace that it comes across to something else. So if you've heard from the spiritual master following that, then that aspect that you're trying to please Krishna on that platform of prema bhakti, following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, then that one develops. Right? Does that make sense? So it's not that Vaidhi only produces Vaikuntha. It's a matter of, it's the mood and attitude in which you follow the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. That's what then takes you to wherever you're going. Right? Because the Vaikuntha, the guru giving that bhava in Vaikuntha, then he will explain it in a certain way.
Yes.
And one who's explaining it in context to the Braj will explain it, you know, what is appropriate there.
Yes.
So much sense. Yes?
It sounds from this description that the sadhana defines the sadhya. And then, according to this, that's exactly what we're practicing, and that's exactly where we're getting. So you know, it's an anxiety that we go.
No, but okay. Let us go from, Star Ferry, and, you know, go back in a few kilometers towards the mainland. And in one of those restaurants there that Kowloon Walla is cooking in, are the techniques of cooking any different from the techniques used anywhere else in the world?
Okay.
No. Now let us say we go to Sri Rangam. And they're then in their kitchen there, they're cooking for Rangaji. So then there the cooking technique in that, is it different?
No.
Now let's say we go over to an ISKCON temple and they're cooking for Radha Krishna or Jagannath like this. Is there some different technique? No. Now let's say with Srila Prabhupada, he was showing the devotees how to cook and all these things. Is there a different technique? Okay, is Mother Jashoda using a different technique? So what's the difference? It's not the technique. We take it that the Vaidhi means that you're simply following rules. It's the attitude in which you're following Vaidhi. If we're following this to follow Srila Prabhupada and we want to follow him, where is he? So we're going to go where he is. That's why we're careful we're not going off to the Ramanujas to figure out how they do things. Unless you want to go there. And, you know, I mean, Ramanuja Acharya is a nice guy, so you don't have to worry about that. You know? And, you know, you won't be disappointed that everybody won't be nice. But we see as Gopa Kumar, who's someone from Vrindavan, he wasn't fully satisfied. So the point is the attitude that makes the difference. Otherwise, the activity. So when the attitude is the only reason I'm doing these activities is because the rules say to, that's called sadhana bhakti. And specifically Vaidhi sadhana. When I'm doing, because I like to do this, but this is what's recommended, that's rag sadhana. Right? Sadhana bhakti. Bhava means then it's come to the point of the ecstasy. Right, so now you're doing this in connection with pleasing Krishna in that way. Then prema means that full possessiveness has come. So the external form isn't going to change. Right? That's the whole point, is that it doesn't change. Lord Chaitanya and his eternal associates doing Harinam Samkirtan, chanting Hare Krishna, but they're on the platform of prema. It's not that we're going to be doing something different. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so that's the whole point, is that we're generally taking it that the activity itself is what defines the bhakti. Well, bhakti is not the activity, it's the primary. See, it's because we're so used to that the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis, that's substance. And Icha has nothing to do with Krishna, it's our desire. Right? But Icha is Krishna's desire. So we're taking it that these will gain us, our thing. You know? When it's about those will gain Krishna's desire. So we're taking it that, therefore, if I want to do something different for myself, I have to, because what am I doing for myself? I'm giving something that ends in just the performance of the Kriya activities that gives a result. Right? Does that make sense? And then from there I get the experience. But I'm seeing it in terms of the thing I got, that's what actually made me happy. So we're seeing things just in the context of the Kriya and Jnana. We don't actually see beyond that. Even though we replace Krishna, we don't actually do a great job. Well, for Krishna, since all that potencies are his, is non-different from him, that's not what's giving the pleasure. The pleasure is the devotion, the individual expression of devotion. That's what's giving Krishna pleasure. The activities are just mediums to use. You know, it's like you have a bunch of friends. They can't sit around and just talk. But then they decide to go for a walk or go out and get something to eat or go watch a movie or go down to the beach or, you know, something. It's just something. They don't need that to interact. But it just gives different flavors to ways to interact, different discussions, different scenarios, different opportunities for interacting. You understand? So for us, we put too much emphasis on this jnana and kriya. Well, for Krishna, it's not. That's why you see in Vaidhi, because we do, therefore it has to start with our level of, our level of perception. That we're seeing that's the jnana and kriya, so we start with that. But we're always being pointed out that it's about the connection with Krishna. Does that make sense? So then, bringing that up, trying to make that solid, then with time, it starts. The attitude goes. Because what's happening? You're getting rid of the anartha. What is getting rid of the anartha? The activity has not changed. It's the idea that the material, anything in the material world can actually give us any satisfaction. So when that's given up, that only devotional service, that's the only thing of substance, that situates you in devotional service. But externally, it's not that, oh, you've done it for so long, so now you're so expert at it. It's the attitude that changes. Then ruchi means then the attitude changes. You have a taste for it. You have attachment for it. Then there's ecstasy in connection with it. But it's the same activity. You know what I'm saying? You know, Mother Yashoda, when she takes the spoon and stirs the pot, she'll be doing this. It's not that it'll be something very dramatic and all that, and a big flurry and the whole thing, and that's what the prema is, you know? You want to see that, go see bogus gurus. That's what they do. They make it into such a show, right, you know? So, it's the same thing, but in that, she's thinking she's cooking this for Krishna, and then the prema that's there. So the externals don't change. This idea has come from, it's come from the material platform. So it's automatically how we're going to think things work. Then to be more specific, this comes from the impersonalists and the sahajiyas. They're the ones that introduce these things. Otherwise our acharyas never talk about them. They mention higher levels, but that's for a higher level. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like if we're doing arithmetic, then someone can talk about it. The math teacher may take it after arithmetic, then we have more developed things that there's the algebra, geometry, trigonometry, like this, and there'll be like these kind of things, and you put it in a context that they can kind of relate to it. Does that make sense? If I say you're using the arithmetic elements to figure out the volumes of things, right? Then you have your geometry. If you're using it to figure out the angles, it's the trigonometry. If you're learning out multiple things at once, that's algebra. But the point is if you don't know algebra, you can't do any of these other ones. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it's not that there's something different. They try to make it look different, but that's the problem. It's not. It's exactly the same thing. You're just having, you're applying it in formulas that brings out a particular result. So then the externals of the devotional activities, then that's not the main feature. It's the devotion. Because as he mentioned here, is that what we call Vaidhi, then when it's applied in prema, it's anubhavas.
So if I understand properly, at the stage of Vaidhi, the process how it proceeds up is we perform the recommended activities, and by performing with proper consciousness, one may experience taste.
Yes.
But when it comes to rag, already initially there is a taste, because of that then there is vibhavas, then anubhavas flow, and then you're performing activities. So the taste is what continues there, and the Vaidhi, the taste is occasionally manifests according to the consciousness developed in relation with Krishna.
Okay. Yeah, because there's a difference between the taste in the Vaidhi and the taste connected to Krishna that came through the medium of the Vaidhi.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So we have a tendency, it's like, say we're management, we get the taste from management as opposed to the taste of serving Krishna through management.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that establishes Vaidhi. right? But Mother Jashoda, she manages Nanda Bhavan. It has 100 rooms, right? And we're not talking that we're, you know, a place in Amsterdam or in Sweden, you know, where, you know, the rooms are, you know, 2 meters by 2 meters or something. You know, we're talking about, you know, big, it's a palace. It's literally 100 rooms. So many servants and this and that. So it's some serious management. But for her, it's just all in connection with Krishna. So the taste and the management is not what's important to her. You know, so when we talk about, no, but, you know, I have to do this and this is me and all that, that means that the taste is in the external, not in the purpose that you're doing it. Does that make sense? So, if you're following these things with the idea to develop love for Krishna and Braja, then why won't it go that way? Why won't Krishna show that way? You understand? Yeah, so it's just, we don't have to worry. Krishna is taking care of it. But the point is, it has to be that you would do something about it. It can't be just, we say, no, but Krishna should make it all happen. So then, he's already doing that with his devotees. So how are you adding something? What are you bringing to the table? You know, I'm just being schlepped along, you know, like that, and... You know, like that. So that's the idea, is that we put in the effort and Krishna reciprocates. We put in, make one step, he'll take 10. So it's the attitude. It's not what you're doing. Like that. Just like when the gopis complain to Krishna that he doesn't know properly how to behave with girls. He doesn't know how to treat them. Where are they taking the example from? Yes, so from Ramayana. So that means they didn't hear Ramayana? So now, they being Braja Gopis, why are they listening to Ramayana? If the process of Rag Bhakti as being presented by many of these days go, why are they listening to Ramayana? Why do they know Mahabharata? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. How is it Nanda Baba knows Bhagavad Gita? He's quoting Bhagavad Gita. And during, I think it's during some pastime in that, he's quoting from Bhagavad Gita. Like that. So why is he doing that? You know, he's heard these. He should just be only reading about, you know, what he does. So, you know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that it's a matter of how you see it. Do you see it related to Krishna or not? It's not what it is. It means in the beginning, of course, you may have things that more tend to remind you of Krishna in that way. That's fine. But don't think that is the process. The point is to remember Krishna. And if by putting up more pictures of Radha and Krishna, then you tend to remember them, great. But it's not that it becomes a sadhana. And that is an important part. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. What makes it work for you? Because you can say, no, you have to do like this. I have 10 pictures. Someone else only has one and it works for them. Right? Someone else just has some gunjamala and sitting there and then it does the same thing. So that's the whole point, is that trying to regulate it in that way, that's again another vaidhi. So it's just you're replacing one vaidhi with another vaidhi, but that the new vaidhi is not the one recommended by the acharyas. So where are you going to end up? You know, who gave that? Where is that going to take you? You know, and if it's spending your time swimming around in Radhakund, you know, and then when there's too many people coming for bath, you go sit on the bottom there for half an hour. That's not where you want to end up. So, you know what I'm saying? So that sadhana definitely can get you there. But whether that's the result you want, that's another thing. Okay. Evam vrata, performing vows, indicates that the prema arose from vaidhi bhava. The word priya, dear, indicates the attainment of bhava. Sva indicates the devotee's possessiveness of the Lord. Jatanuraga indicates extreme possessiveness. So we see that the Gaudiya Acharyas, they have no problem quoting from anywhere. That is how the process is working. So it may be an example from someone attaining to Vaikuntha, but it doesn't matter because it's up to that point. Does that make sense? It's just like, let us say you want to get to Calcutta and someone else is going up to Runagat. So the process of getting from here to Runagat is any different? No. But it's to continue past, that's where. So that's why we may give example of someone getting liberated, someone would be giving up material desire. You know, we'll talk about this king or that person who, you know, gave up family attachment. You know, like Prabhupada even mentions that Lala Babu, you know, the guy from Calcutta. So, you know, so we don't have a problem because that's what we would do, but how far they're taking it, that's another thing. We're not getting into that. That's not the example. The example is they followed a particular recommended process that got them to that point, and that's the discussion. Does that make sense? So that's why they can use these ones that may go in and out of, obviously, you know, an example from Braj or one what's not. Is for them it doesn't matter because it's Krishna's non-dual, right? So it's all in connection with Braj Krishna. So they'll see everything in connection with Braj Krishna. They don't see anything otherwise. So that's the difficulty, is that when we make these distinctions too strongly, then we're not actually seeing it as Krishna's non-dual. And that's the uniqueness of the Brajvasis, that everything is about Krishna. There's nothing. So when we say exclusive possessiveness, nothing's not connected to Krishna. While this others, this is connected to Krishna, that's not. So we're not actually seeing in a very deep or mature way. But at the same time, is you don't want to get distracted. So that's why you stick to, you know, the simple path as the Acharyas gave. And as one gets more sophisticated, one can add in more detail. Does that make sense? But if we think that the detail is what makes it, we have to remember details is only secondary application of the primary. So if we don't see the primary, we actually don't understand the detail. And so then we're using the detail. What is the primary? He said, no, I want to get to Braj, you know, that's the best place, you know, that's where the highest happiness is, and stuff like that. But then, that's liberation. That's Vaikuntha. That's not Braj. Braj is, I want to be able to please Krishna in that way. And how do you please Krishna? By pleasing Krishna's devotees. They know how to please Krishna. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, dasanu, dasanu, das. The other acharyas will say, we're servants of the Lord. They don't say we're dasana, dasana, das. That's a Braj thing. You know, saying? So it's that it's simply about Krishna's satisfaction. So if Krishna's satisfaction is there, the only one who actually knows how to please him is Radharani. And the only ones who, then therefore we have to assist Radharani. The only ones that really know how to assist Radharani then are her close associates. And for us, our connection to those is through Rupa Goswami. And the only way we know how to serve Rupa Goswami is through the Acharyas. The only way we know how to approach the Acharyas is through Srila Prabhupada. So therefore, we're servant of the servants of the servant of the servant of Radharani, who's serving Krishna. And that's Brajabhakti. That will get us there. That makes sense. So we always have to stick to what they say. So these things that, well, we take this and that and this acharya against that one, or this acharya against something outside of that, or this, it doesn't work with Brajabhakti. Brajabhakti is, this what the acharyas give, this is what we follow. And even if there's a fault there, what does it matter? The fault is in relationship to our acharya. You know, so even if the public doesn't like us and this and that, it doesn't matter. We'll go back to Godhead. Public stays here. Right? You want to please the public, you can stay here to please the public. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. They just say, this is the way, that's the way we do it. And you apply it, of course, to your individual situation. But we have to be very, very careful that they know the mood. You know what I'm saying? Instead of sitting, it means you can read the Panchadhyaya exclusively, but you probably do better to be reading the prayers of the Acharyas, the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakura and Narottam Das Thakura. You know what I'm saying? Because they have the attitude. The other is that, yes, that's Krishna's pastimes, and there'll be some attraction, but is it Braja Prema attraction? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing is, you know, I come along with a new car and you were attracted. You know? So that's the whole thing is we have to be careful. Is creating attraction, that's not the problem. It's creating the correct attraction. That's what we want. You understand? So, yeah. So it's not that these things can't be used. It's just that we don't know, you know, the Panchadhyaya, we won't appreciate that except through the acharyas. Because they're the ones serving in there. Does that make sense? They can when the Bhagavatam is mentioning different devotees doing different things, but it doesn't say names. The acharyas can say who it is. Why? Because they're there. Does that make sense? You know, like I say, I've heard that, you know, someone was sitting in your house and like that, a younger person in the house, and they were sitting in their room and not really doing anything, and then was asking their mom when lunch will be ready. So I don't know who it is. But you're there. You can say who that is. Right? Does that make sense? But it's enough to create the environment so that the whole mood of what's going on can be appreciated. Because whether we know the name or not, it doesn't matter because we don't actually understand who they are. You know, we can mention them, nice, but it's just a name for us. You know, if I say Lalita, we've heard the name. Does immediately the form, the personality, the service they do, does all that come to mind? Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, it won't come. But if I say Lolly, that all comes to mind. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the whole point, is that it's just a matter of the acharyas know what they're doing. That's why Prabhupada, you see all the time, he emphasizes that under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. And that was in these purports. And when we were doing the other purports, he was saying the same thing in the other book. You know, so he's always saying that. And the acharyas mention it, but he brings it up a lot. Because otherwise, those from a background who they don't know about following the acharya, and don't have that sense of respective authority, they like to take it as just a thing to do rather than the thing to do. Does that make sense? Yeah. Is that good? Okay. Good? Yes.
Has limitation in time.
And it has two options. Which option will be more efficient for development of right attitude? If you will more listen, acharyas and bhajan, for example, like the Srimad Bhagavatam, or if you will try to reach Krishna consciousness?
It has to be one or the other. It's like we either eat lunch or we starve eternally. You know. You know what I'm saying? Why do we need to... In other words, when the opportunity to hear, we hear. And when the opportunity to preach, we preach. Does that make sense? Because what are you preaching? What you've heard. Can you preach something someone else has heard? No. So what you've heard, that's what you can preach. So when you get the opportunity, you hear. And when you have the opportunity for preaching, you preach. And sometimes you may see there's times for more hearing and other times for more preaching. Does that make sense? So if one doesn't know, one studies. That's why Prabhupada created these courses. So we could learn. But, you know, the idea is once you know, then you start using. So, yeah. So it's not a problem. It doesn't have to be one or the other. They can never hear anything, or you can only preach. You know, you work it in. I know devotees who, you know, when they're taking a bath or cooking or anything, they're listening to lectures and stuff like that. You know, that's how they figure it out. You know, others sit down and read a book. Right? They all work. You know, it's just what works for you. Is that? Yes.
Can we say that in this course, especially the 3 years, we are also studying the song of Narottama Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, to get the right attitude?
Yes, that's the whole idea, because if it's called Prema Chakshu, then we have to understand what that means, how to develop that. That's what we're trying to do.
So this is like practical application.
Yes, yes. We see how they're using it, the attitude that they're having. Because they're bringing it, the songs and that are bringing it down to practical stuff, what we do.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes. Because we come a lot across this point, Bhaktis Danta Saraswati, he comments that one or the other is a purely mundane concept.
Ah, very good. Very good.
He says, in the spiritual world, it's this and this simultaneously.
Simultaneously. Very nice.
Problem.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, very good. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Ratha means a person performing vows of sadhana according to the methods discussed in the second wave, and indicates Vaidhi sadhana, since vratas are related to rules and regulations in Vaidhi bhakti. The words priya nama kirtya indicate that Baba has appeared from chanting Krishna's name. Because the word priya in this verse indicates that the Lord has become very dear to the chanter. The word sva, one's own, indicates a feeling of possessiveness of the Lord. The Lord has become one's own object of affection. Jatanuraga indicates intense possessiveness, which is a symptom of prema. Rauti means to make sounds loudly other than crying, which has already been described by the words roditi. Loka bhaya means he is beyond ordinary humans or extraordinary. Footnote 17 can also mean that he is indifferent to society, right? So when you're saying he is beyond ordinary humans or he's extraordinary, means he's, you know, the verse it was saying that he's indifferent to society. So you see the Prabhupada and that is translated that way. So they're just bringing out another angle. He is beyond that. It means ordinary humans, he's beyond what is their interest in that. So see, why does somebody want to socially fit in? Because they want to get the benefits from that social circle.
Yeah.
But if you don't care about getting the benefits from that social circle, you don't have to fit in.
Yes.
Right? So here's, if you're absorbed in Krishna consciousness, you don't have to impress them. It's not you go out of the way to bother them. Right? You know, it's not like when they're sitting down to eat lunch, you come and dance on top of the table like that. It just means you don't care about impressing people. It doesn't mean that you're also, oh, this is me, and I don't care about that, so I'll dress how I want, do what I want. We're not talking about that, because that's mundane also. It just means they're so absorbed in Krishna, they're not really worried that others are going to be, you know, what they think.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. 1-4, 7-8. Prema arising from bhava, based on Raghunuka sadhana, is described in the Padma Purana. In this Manvantara period, the beautiful face Chandrakanti observed continuous celibacy and continuously meditated only on the form of Krishna, thinking, one should not desire anyone else as a husband. End quote. She sang songs about him with hair standing on end. She developed complete affection for Krishna by hearing stories about Krishna. Okay? So he saw as the one is he's just absorbed in the Lord, but here specifically in Krishna. So do we sing songs other than about Krishna? I mean, I'm setting aside the point that we're at a yoga studio or something. Right? We don't sing about Krishna. Everything's about Krishna. So that's the whole consideration. Whatever we're doing is in contact with Krishna. So that's then how it comes to rag. Because we're looking that rag has to be a different practice, that's why we'll say we're not performing rag sadhana. But the point is you like to do this and it's in connection with pleasing Krishna, that those aspects are what is rag. So whatever aspects are like that, that is rag. Whatever aspects aren't, then that's not. So, makes sense? Srila Prabhupada. In the Padma Purana, there's a statement about ecstatic love born of spontaneous affection. Chandrakanti, a celebrated fair-faced girl, rigidly observed celibacy in order to attain Krishna as her husband. She always engaged herself in meditating on the transcendental form of the Lord and always chanting the glories of the Lord. She did not desire to accept anyone else as her husband. She had firmly decided only Krishna would be her husband. Right? So she's thinking of Krishna and the glories of Krishna. Mm-hmm. Didn't say she only thought about his pastimes with his queens.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? She's always just thinking about Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
like that, whatever he's doing that. Like, is there not that famous verses by the gopis? That when Krishna and Balaram are going out, one talking about how wonderful Balaram is and how nice he is, and to see the two of them going out to the fields,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Because Krishna's wonderful, that also his brother's wonderful,
yes.
right?
Yes.
It's not that, oh, he's wonderful and everybody else is not,
yes.
right? You know, it just adds to his position. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Or when he's going out with the cowherd boys, and then they're worried about him stepping on stones and the sharp grass and like this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's in the context of the cowherd boys and their pastimes. So it's about Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point. So that's why Braja Krishna, any aspect you can appreciate. Because it's like, it's not that the gopis like how he deals with them, but, you know, they couldn't care less about how he deals with Mother Yashoda. They'll appreciate it. He's so perfect, he deals with her so wonderfully. So that makes sense? Yeah? Srila Jiva Goswami. It is understood that because she meditated only on the deity of Krishna, she had already achieved bhava for that deity. She did not desire anything else as her husband. So he's saying because she's already meditating means she's already attained that. So it means that she's attained that, that's why she's doing it. Not saying by doing that then it'll attain. Right? You attain because of the mercy of the Vaishnavas. So you do what they say, that will get you there. She did not desire anyone else as her husband. Na kamayet should be na kamayeta. Atmane pada. Meaning one should not desire any husband for oneself. This indicates a feeling of deep possessiveness of Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thus, prema is indicated as per the definition of prema given in verse 1. The word bhabhuva became should be added to snigdha. The meaning becomes she developed complete affection. Okay. Verse 149. Prema arising from the great mercy of the Lord is explained. The great mercy of the Lord includes such things as the Lord giving his association to the devotee. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The Lord giving his personal association to the devotee is called Ati Prasada, or extreme mercy, because that is the result of the Lord's mercy. But he's giving his personal association, that's mercy, and why it's extreme mercy is because that's the result of his mercy is you get his association. So through his association you get his mercy, and having his mercy you get his association. So, yeah. So does that make sense? So here he's going through these three. That you see is that from all of these you can get to the same place. Like that. But it's just a matter of you following in the footsteps of the acharyas, then they'll develop naturally. Because you can say, oh, you have to do this, but then does that mean everyone's going to sit down and not get married and only meditate on Krishna? That means if it works, great. You know, so therefore then it'll be, these three are there and it'll always be a combination. Yes? Means to take the example of how she got there. The point is that she developed complete affection. That this indicates a deep feeling of possessiveness. She did not desire anyone else, right? Does that make sense? You know, it says here, one should not desire any husband for oneself. So, you know what I'm saying? So, that's the thing to get from these, not the secondary form. Right? So, we're showing how one gets to these points through these different processes. Through Vaidhi, through Rag, and through Mercy. So it's not a matter of, oh, but this takes you here or there. Don't worry about that. It gets you up to that point. Does that make sense? It means, but the acharyas say don't do certain things. We don't, because that will take you to that particular place. But she's meditating on Krishna as the husband. So meditating on Krishna as the husband, that can't make her as one of the gopis. She won't be a maidservant, that's for sure. But she can be a gopi. Because how you define it, she doesn't say husband meaning married. Husband means she's the one she hangs out with. Does that make sense? Yeah. But yes, it's there. But the point is it's showing how one can get to the platform of prema through rag. Does that make sense? That's the thing. That's what we're meaning, is that you take the essence. They're using example. You take the essence of it, because an example never is exactly as what you're explaining, because you're talking about a certain situation that you get something that's close that brings you near. That's what it's for. Is that okay?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.